Alright, so we are here to talk about Troilus and Cressida. And you guys want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Christopher Cannell, one of the directors.
I'm Lewis Harding, I'm also one of the directors.
Right,
we
good.
Are the directors, in fact.
There you go, you're the directors, alright. Would you like to explain what's going on in the room next to us right now?
We currently have some of our lovely cast members are acting out their sword fights.
Drilling them over and over and over and over again, so that on the night, no deaths occur.
Right, oh, so it's all real, like, swords.
They're all the swords.
I mean, you can hear that, I suppose.
The swords are made of...
For the purposes of advertising, yes. Real swords.
Real swords, yeah. Sharpened. Combat sharpened swords.
Sharp objects.
But if you're the Union, then no.
If you're the Union, then they're hitting each other with feather dusters.
Would you like to give a synopsis and show how the sword fighting comes in?
Well, Troilus and Cressida is about the Trojan War. It takes us 7 years deep into the depths of it.
Conflict, yeah.
And in amongst all the horrible violence that's going on, poor little Prince Troilus must try and woo the beautiful Cressida.
Meanwhile, in the Greek camp, we have a subplot, or... Shakespeare has a subplot. There are many plots going on in this play, but we have a plot whereby the Greek lords, led by Agamemnon and counseled by Ulysses, are trying to encourage Achilles back to the battlefield and failing.
And amidst this, Hector has issued one challenge, one single fight to determine the fate of the Trojan War.
And Paris and Helen
are busy going at it
like rabbits.
Nice. Is that the basis of your trailer then? Because your trailer doesn't seem to reflect any of the things you just said. Not in a bad way, but...
We are going for a kind of timeless period setting, so that's hence why the people are in suits there. We've also gone for a little bit of glass ceiling theme, which we'll come on to in a second, I think. But the trailer reflects the arming of Hector whilst splicing it up with the undressing of Paris and Helen. So it reflects the two main themes in the play of love and war.
Please do. One of our central aesthetic concerns was how to basically incorporate suits as potentially timeless element of our production. And we have this conceit whereby suits are armor. Whenever you slip on a nice tailored suit, you feel as if you're ready to face the world. You feel as if and nothing can touch you. And that was a thing that we wanted to try and convey with our. I hope nobody's dying.
They're just being convincing actors. It'll be all right. Yes. Okay. So you're mentioning glass ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, in line with that, we took the decision to make Achilles female. Achilles is actually quite often portrayed in a dress in some productions, and we thought, why not go the full way? And Achilles, throughout the play, she has kind of emotional turmoil going on, in that she refuses to fight for the Grecian cause. And it's almost, in the version that we've gone for, it's a kind of male-orientated world that she's within, and so trying to break out of that, she goes her own separate way and refuses their cause.
But it's subsequently, finally, sublimated back into it.
What would you say, maybe three selling points? Things that would be just words to sort of pique someone's interest, that sort of pick something out about the show that's a bit unusual or interesting.
We may have this is one word or selling point. We probably have one of the largest casts ever assembled for a St. Andrews show. We have approximately 35 people in our cast.
Number is ever changing.
The number is ever changing, which makes it will make it a truly epic spectacle.
I think also that Troilus and Cressida is a rarely performed Shakespeare play. It was called the unperformable play, quotations there, up until about the 1960s, but still not particularly much interest has been shown into it. So we've done some exciting stuff to make it more viewable. And I think it's a unique experience to see a performance that isn't often put on.
Yes. Now, would you say that there's war and love sort of going at the same time? We're talking about war, but also talking about a lot of, Paris and Helen, the romance of ever, really. Why would you say, do you think they're sort of tempered together, or do you think that it's like one over the other, or how would you say that Shakespeare sort of integrated them? How are you performing it?
It is in a direct, they are directly equated in that one leads to the other, and the other is fed by the former is fed by the latter. You have the war being caused by Paris's lust for Helen. But then the war is also what informs their romance. It is also what colours them slightly more.
Man just burst through screen.
Yeah, there we go.
What colours the slightly more innocent romance of Troilus for Cressida. Is that they're constantly being beset by the war that is raging all around them.
So they're in some ways you have war reflected in love, but you also have love contrary to war at the same time. You'll have to come see the show to find out what happens.
Yes, no, that does, it does sound really interesting. I mean, I'm definitely going to come for, congratulations, there you go. And I highly recommend anybody else that's listening would come as well. Yes, so, you know, I'll let you guys get back to your screaming people. It'll be exciting.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Yes, thank you very much.
Come see our show.
Good, woo-hoo! Come see the show.